About a year ago, Dwight and I received a very special invitation to have to observe Shabbat, to have a Shabbat meal with some of our Jewish friends in town, and we were there with Jewish and non-Jewish guests. And our friend who was the host is a rabbi, and so he said all the prayers in Hebrew, which were so beautiful, and then translated them for us. And over the course of that dinner, we were able to talk about Shabbat and Sabbath observance and what that meant to the people there who engaged in that spiritual practice each week. And one of the guests had been a nominal Jew and had married an Orthodox Jewish woman, and part of the deal in that marriage was committing to that practice and a way of life. And he talked about how hard it was to stop every week to have a Sabbath observance, but how important and transformative that had been for him. And our hostess, who's a very gifted lawyer, talked about the fact that when she interviewed for law firms here in the city, she would say, "I am available 24/6, meaning I am available for you 24 hours every day, but on the seventh day, I am not available. That is God's day." And that was so important to her, and it impacted her professionally. She had never made partner, but I was so in awe of her ability to say, "This particular day is the Lord's day, and I'm going to honor that, and I'm going to observe that." Two of today's readings talk about Sabbath. Our reading from Deuteronomy is one of two places in the Old Testament. The other is Exodus, where the Sabbath is commanded, keeping a holy day. Both Exodus and Deuteronomy talk about 6 days being dedicated for labor, but then specify that the seventh day is to be a day of rest. In Mark, we have two stories back to back in which Jesus upsets religious authorities on the Sabbath. In the first story, he and his students are traveling on the Sabbath and gleaning or snacking on grain in the fields, and that's very upsetting. And then he upsets a whole other group, the Herodians, by healing a man's withered hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Both of these stories raise the important questions: what is the Sabbath about and for? And why were the Pharisees and the Herodians so upset with Jesus for what he did on the Sabbath? If we go back to the Judeo-Christian story of the creation of the world in Genesis, we can see that after working for 6 days to create the sky, the oceans, all living creatures, and humankind, God rested on the seventh day. So rest appears to be built into the fabric of creation. And there seems to be an important relationship between creativity and rest, with rest being necessary for creativity. When we look at the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy, however, we see that Jews are not just to observe the Sabbath day to rest, as important as that is, but also so that they remember God's liberation of Israel from Egypt during the Exodus. The people are to keep the Sabbath in remembrance of their enslavement in Egypt, and so they never forget God's redemptive act on their behalf. The Jewish prayer before and after the Sabbath meal makes this purpose clear. "Once we were slaves in Egypt, now we are free people." So at its root, the spiritual practice of Sabbath is about liberation. It's about God's liberation of those who are enslaved, oppressed, and forgotten. Those who cry out to God for help because they have no illusion that they can save themselves or rely on their strength alone. The Sabbath is also about life, whatever gives life, whatever sustains life. And this understanding of the Sabbath was embraced by Jews in Jesus' day. So we need to be careful when looking at scripture passages like today's gospel, not to condemn the Jewish leaders for being legalistic or not getting the big point, because they got the big point. They practiced it. I think that the people who are upset with Jesus here and elsewhere in the first couple of chapters of Mark, in which there's a lot of conflict between Jesus and religious leaders, are most disturbed by the authority that Jesus is claiming and also by his sense of urgency. When they hear Jesus say, "The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath," they get nervous. Why is this rabbi referring to himself as the Lord of the Sabbath? And couldn't Jesus wait to restore the man's withered hand? Kind of interrupted the synagogue service. They don't have the same sense of urgency as Jesus. Jesus believes that God's kingdom or reign is already present on earth, and there's no time to wait. God desires the immediate liberation of all people. The things that enslave God's people can include everything from unfair working conditions and substandard pay to a withered hand which prevents a man from earning a living, providing for his family, and being restored to community and fullness of life. The life that emerges from observing a day of rest comes in many forms: renewal, energy, reflection, new perspectives. As I said earlier, rest is part of creation's design. Fields need to lie fallow. Some animals need to hibernate. Humans need to sleep, to dream, and to be freed from the pressures, concerns, and pileup of emails and things to do that overwhelm us. We need to be freed for a day from consumption. We need to go up north and sit by Lake Superior and take in its beauty. When we don't take a Sabbath, a day of rest, we begin to forget that the God who created the universe can actually run it for a day in our absence. I taught a class a couple of years ago here. Some of you took it on spiritual practices, and there was a wonderful gentleman who joined us, and he said, "Sabbath, it's like God says, I'll cover for you. I'll cover for you for a day." What is most striking in the Deuteronomy account of the Sabbath is the stipulation that slaves, resident aliens, and livestock are also ordered to rest. It's not just the master and mistress of the household who are commanded to rest, but everyone. Everyone is created in God's image, and everyone deserves rest. In this respect, Sabbath is the great leveler. I wonder if you observe a day of rest or have considered doing that. I wonder what sort of a weekly practice would enable you to rest from whatever enslaves you, wears you down, and makes you feel overwhelmed and lifeless. I wonder what you would refrain from and what you would do in order to feel like yourself again, to feel energetic, hopeful, excited, and alive. To rest, to take one day a week to remove yourself from the hustle and bustle of daily life and social media, is not a selfish act. For it is when we are rested, reflective, focused, and purposeful that God is able to use us most fully in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in our workplaces, and the places we volunteer. By intentionally letting go and letting God each week, we also make time to remember God's faithfulness to us throughout the years, filled with gratitude and new energy, we are better able to be God-bearers, people who bring God's life, light, creativity, and hope into every relationship, place, and situation. In the silence that follows, I want you to think about what a weekly Sabbath observance might look like for you. Ask God to help you make time and space to rest so that God might bring forth new life in you. Amen.